Have you ever had a mustache? Just a mustache?
For a while, I modeled my facial hair after Prince. He had a really thin beard line, like running along his like jawline, and then the thin goatee.
And it's like a pencil, like there's a pencil mustache is a thing, but you had like a pencil beard.
Yeah, but it was barely a pen. It was more like an eraser. Because I'm blonde. I mean, Prince has
Oh,
black hair.
sure. I've only had a mustache for the length of time from shaving the rest of my beard to look in the mirror and go, I don't have the balls to go out in public with this
Yeah,
thing.
you really have to have a pair on you or an incredible sense of humor.
Growing up, also, I always thought that once I was able to, I would have a Hitler mustache.
Just.
But in a cruel twist of fate, the hair doesn't really grow in that spot at all. That
It was
little
like
middle part is
nature
like
telling you to
naked.
not be an asshole.
Exactly. It's like God has ways of making sure that idiots aren't idiots
Yeah.
sometimes.
It's like genetics getting in the way of.
Eugenics.
I'm Philip
I'm Matt.
First, we'll have a little chat,
then put on our ring brothers.
Now it's time for Next at Bats!
And we're here today with the Mustache Rangers. Hello, Mustache Rangers.
Hi.
Hello. That
Uh,
sounded so weak and weird.
well, you're
Hello.
not in character today.
No, we're generally not in character most days.
No, generally. Although, do you ever walk around in character?
No.
No.
By myself,
Okay.
Oh, do
I
you?
mean, in a st I'm in a state of mind sometimes
Okay.
where I think I'm better than everyone else, but I don't
Which
really.
is kind of your character's main
Yeah,
drive.
that's kind of what I do as the character. So I just, I walk around with that air of superiority,
Sure.
I would probably say.
And so in the Mustache Rangers, you guys play the same character over and over again in your episode. Could you introduce yourselves and tell which character you do play?
Sure. My name is Corey Anderson, and I play Commander Major Alistair Q. Bastidius. I am the leader of the ship of two. And as my title would suggest, I'd tell you a little bit about the character, but he changes always, constantly evolving. He's pretty confident that he's the best at everything. There may be one or two things he's not good at, but most things he's the leader, and that's
He's the
why. Yeah,
best,
he
yeah.
went to Commander Major School. Specifically, there's a different set of courses for Commander Majors, as it's like the executive level courses
Yep.
as opposed to
We
the lower courses.
used to have a wiki for all the
Did you really?
inconsistencies
Jeez.
and well, not in everything we made up because it contradicts.
Did you try to keep the continuity going? Or was that not really a
I think we've
concern?
tried,
We've
but we
tried,
kind
but
of gave up.
after 260 some
Right.
Yeah.
episodes
Improvised episodes, I
and
think.
stage shows and
It's
stuff,
not
it's
like we
kind
go
of
back and listen to all the episodes and go, all right, now remember what happened
You don't have a
100
dramaturge
ago.
I think,
staff?
yeah, no, we don't. I'm pretty sure I've explained my parents' death in
Several
probably a dozen
ways.
different ways.
Right.
Each time it affected me greatly in a different way.
Our Christmas is called Terrence Day, where Panda McGee comes down a chimney, and I believe we've described it as my family has eaten Panda McGee, and also your family has, depending on which episode we were on. But it was, that's a capital offense. I believe it was my father that was taken away, but I think the last time we described it was your family.
Yeah, I think so.
When in fact, you killed your father to take his commander majorhood.
And you are.
I'm Eric McEwen, and I play First Lieutenant Rutger G. Funibaum, who is the nervous, self-conscious, yet always raring for an argument or trying to get out of things with words. So he'd rather not do anything,
Sure.
which leads us to just sitting around on stage and in audio form.
Yes.
I'd describe you as a depressed and lazy depressed,
Lazy depressed?
I
Yeah.
think is a
Yeah,
good
so my real life really bleeds into the Mustache Rangers.
And computer?
And computer. Oh, yeah,
I was
sorry.
going to bring up computer.
I also
Yeah.
play computer. who is how just
a dick. Seriously, just kind of a dick.
Computer thinks he's up on pop culture. He thinks he's got a bit. He's definitely got an attitude.
Oh yeah.
And is he kind of
sometimes applies for other jobs.
That's true. That's true. And kind of he's all powerful almost.
Yeah.
Where he controls the ship and where things make us alive. Mm-hmm. So
it's like if we piss him off enough, he could kill us very easily.
Right. But he does work for you.
But he does work for us. Yeah. And I think in his internal programming, I think he can't kill us.
Right.
I think that's probably something.
You think it's an Asimov?
But he wants to. He
probably.
Yeah.
He does try to make our lives, mine especially, challenging. Or the Commander Major. I'm getting a little involved in here. But yeah.
He's always
method acting.
Yeah.
Chatting with ladies on the internet / looking up Craigslist ads / he's got a lot of computing things going on at the same time.
Yeah. Well, he has a computer.
Yeah.
Do a lot of different functions per second.
Yep.
And as always, I am here today with
Philip Simadet. I play the creepy guy known as Philip from Philip's Corner. A lot of my real life bleeds into my character as well. And the host of the show is
Matthew McLeod. And Philip, I would like to say that you're kind of the computer of this show.
Because I've got an attitude.
And you kind of want to usurp my position. But your internal computing, since you're the one who brought me into the show to begin with, is such that you never really will probably kick me out.
Because I hate redundancy and contradiction.
Can you say that again?
Do you want me to say it in a way that people can hear it?
I just wanted you to say, I hate redundancy.
I hate redundancy.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, my God.
There it is.
He hates going for the obvious gag, too.
I figured since the mustache rangers are on, we should do a little bit of wordplay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's get some portmanteau in there.
Portmanteau, yeah, I love that subvertow. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of wordplay, you guys do a lot of, I suppose, just for anybody who doesn't know what you guys do, you have a podcast.
MustacheRangers.com. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right.
Whatever.
And it's very good, and it's pretty consistently good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did you listen to the first 100? Because
I did, actually.
Okay. Not as consistently good.
Yeah, well,
we're figuring things out.
You were growing.
Yes.
It really hit its absurd points in the 200s, I would say.
I think 100 on.
Or about 100, 150 or so.
So we started it about 7 years ago when there weren't a lot of podcasts.
Right.
And we started with just a boom mic from, just the stick boom mic from Target for $15 that we both gathered around one mic. So it was terrible audio. It was through the small little input jack on the computer, and that's how we started it out.
And the audio has improved since the early days.
There's not that tinny sound, that's the constant tinniness.
But what I was going to mention is that you are both big fans of kind of latching on to these moments where, like, one of you might misspeak or something like that, and then that turns into maybe even what the episode is about, or at least an extended arc of exploring that. You explore wordplay a lot and make that the point.
Yeah.
You want to talk about, like, what your attraction is to, the English language. I mean, that's really what you guys are working on.
I suppose. I think there was a Max Sparber, who was a theater reviewer in the Twin Cities, came to see one of our shows and gave us glowing reviews, you guys. You should all. No, it's a very good review and describes us probably the best that I've seen anyone describe whatever our weird show is. But he said it's like an old couple bickering. And so it's these two characters who have been, we've been with each other for 500 to 700 years.
Right.
Because this is science fiction. So everything that's been said, we've said a billion times.
Right.
So it's just, it's all this nitpicking and just finding ways to dig at the other character. So no matter what they say, it's going to be torn apart. Mm-hmm. Because what else do you have in your life besides interacting with this other person who has probably started to annoy you quite a bit all the time?
But also all you have is
each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It's, I mean, and a lot of times it's, you know, you make a mistake saying a word or something like that, and, you know, most people just brush over it because we know what you're saying, but we'll take that. And I think it's just it's something to latch on to. Because a lot of times when you're just sitting in a room together, looking at each other with two microphones, it's all improvised, so we don't necessarily know what we're going to say.
Right.
Just to find something to grab onto and then run with that. I don't know. It's just a fun thing to do, and it's fun to point out each other's mistakes.
Which is not, it is not good improv if you're doing an improv scene.
Right.
You probably don't want to nitpick what the other improviser is doing.
We wouldn't teach this.
No.
Right.
But we've been, Eric and I have been improvising together for like, what, almost 20 years?
Yeah, well, something.
I'd say about 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
Because we started in high school. We did a little bit together. But so we know each other very well, and we know how to, you know, not let the other one sink or fail, and we can pick each other up and take each other down, and the scene will still be good. But you can't teach somebody to do that. So we take the mistakes that we make and we just run with them, and we find interesting ways to do it.
I feel like with people who don't know each other as well, or who have been doing it for less time, like after an improv set that we would do, they would be like, you know, I really didn't like when you really pointed out some of my flaws, or you kind of negated this or whatever, but we are kind of all accepting, and it all comes out of the character work.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can, when you watch one of your shows or you listen to one of the episodes, it's, and you guys do that, it's obvious that you're both on board. I mean, 100%, because even the person who's getting negated or getting nitpicked or whatever is still supporting 100% that choice to negate. It's obvious that this isn't a kind of showy, like, I'm going to show off for a second and show that you're stupid. That's not what you're doing in the slightest. And obviously this is a dynamic that really works for you guys. And it becomes a really fun game. We've talked about on the show before, the moments where you can break the rules and have, you know, wonderful scenes because you break the rules. And I think that's exactly what you guys do.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell from inside of the improv sometimes what you're doing or why it's working. So it's nice to have an outside observer say nice things about us. What else do you like about us?
Well, we'll get to that later.
Philip, do you have anything nice to say?
No.
Okay.
But I think one of the the wordplay is one of the favorite things that we do, because we, you know, you miss say a word, and then you explore, well, we said this word wrong. What does this word actually mean? And then we come up with this weird environment or weird, you know, product or something like that we're going to, you know, develop and sell just because we misspoke or something.
And
like
you own it. Like, yeah, you own
like,
the,
like, well, that's what I meant to say.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. Also, like, sometimes when you're speaking and you know the word you want to say, but then you realize, as this has happened a number of times I've seen you guys work, you say a word and you're like, wait, is it pronounced like this or is it pronounced like this? And you'll work it out like,
Out loud. Of everybody?
Yeah, exactly. And then that becomes a bit. I mean, like, this exploration of the English language is really fun to watch, and not... so there's a compliment. There you go.
All right, thanks. All right.
And it's not common in improv. Most people are, you know, worried about plot or keeping things going or space work, which you guys don't do fucking any of.
What? I'm pretty sure I've eaten a sandwich a couple of times.
But you guys are really cerebral, but calmly cerebral about it. It's not like you're showing off.
I
think we're definitely comfortable living in the silence and the pauses, which can be frightening on stage, mm-hmm. but we purposefully start off every show with a long silence just to let the audience know what the fuck they're in for.
Yeah.
You know, you're not coming out on stage and going, you know, hey, here we are, let's do this. All right, chuckle, chuckle, chuckle.
Yeah.
We're kind of slapping their expectations in the mouth.
Along with the suggestion.
The suggestion throwaway. Yeah, that's... For those who don't know, we ask for an object and then just throw it away in the very first line.
And the rest of it has nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
It's like every, you know, the basis of improv is just off one suggestion. We can create this and we take it and just be like, well, you don't care what you say. Yeah. And it's, we're going to do what we're going to do. It doesn't matter what you say.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite bits, honestly.
It's so... I've come to the realization a long time ago that the audience has already made up their mind if it's planned or not, or if it's scripted or whatever, and a suggestion isn't going to change their mind.
Right.
Now, suggestion for montages and stuff really help new ideas grow out of it, mm-hmm. and get your mind sparking, but we don't really need it. We don't have anything pre-planned, and we're not going to convince anyone otherwise.
Have you ever found the suggestion creep back in?
And quite a few times. Yeah. And sometimes I do use it as inspiration because it sort of triggers something in my mind. Because I sit there in silence for 30 seconds, which is a short amount of time, but when you're on stage and everyone in the audience, it's forever.
Yeah. And I don't think we've discussed this before, and that large silence after mm-hmm. we throw the suggestion away and everyone laughs because it's hilarious. How much of that time are you like thinking of something to say?
I'd say probably 10% of that 10%, time.
Yeah, me too. Otherwise, I'm just kind of staring dead ahead.
That's exactly
and kind of gauging how much time is going to be funny before mm-hmm. we start talking.
Yeah, again. I'm more concerned about when it's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to get to the point where mm-hmm. the audience is not turning on us.
Yeah.
Just finding that. Cause there's usually a roller coaster. There's the initial like
point of diminishing returns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So sometimes it'll go up and like, oh, this is hilarious. And it'll die down. But there's also a second flow.
Yes.
Cause mm-hmm. there's the people who didn't laugh the first time are like, oh my God, they're really pursuing the silence. Then they're like, oh, I get it. And then that's usually when, you know, it's just, so instead of trying to figure out what to say, I'm spending time like, when should we end this? Mm-hmm. And then I'm hoping he has something to say.
So in your shows, in your live shows, you do spend a lot of time staring straight ahead, mm-hmm. like rarely even looking at each other, which is also kind of breaking the rules of, not kind of, it is breaking the rules.
Yeah, it's a talking head scene all the time.
Yeah, it's a talking head scene. And so there is... pardon me, very little space work and very little movement. Mm-hmm. But there's still a lot of acting going on. I mean, there's emotion, blah, blah, blah. It's just all seated. Mm-hmm. But there's also very little like interconnection between the two of you. So you can use the looking over at each other for points of emphasis, mm-hmm. but I guess my question is it like how easy is it to work like that, to be staring out at the audience and having that conversation with the person without actually seeing what their expression, their body is doing?
I guess it's like how easy it is it to have a conversation in the car when you're driving with somebody? You know, because I feel like it is somewhat easy.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Because in movies, you watch people and they're always looking over. It's like, oh, well, you're going to get an accident. But in real mm-hmm. life, you're just sort of talking and sharing. But I mean, in this, it's, yeah, we don't look at each other very often. But when we do, it's very effective.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's, I think that's a good point of it. But I don't know. It just seems easy because
natural.
It's sort of natural. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because though I think those are our characters mm-hmm. have been together, we don't need to look at each other. Mm-hmm. And then Eric and I have been doing this together for so long that we know, usually I'd say probably 90% of the time we're on the same page mm-hmm. of wherever we're going without having to look at each other and confirm like, this is what you're doing, this is what you're doing. Okay. So it just, I don't know, it just kind of comes naturally. I don't know, that's a bad answer, but
no, it's fine.
I've just been told by a psychiatrist this week that I have hints of Asperger's.
What?
Yep. So not looking people in the face or eyes seems to be like right on, right? Make it super easy. Well. So that's interesting to know, huh?
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe I should see the guy and your psychiatrist.
Yeah. No, you guys can have a real nice chat. But yeah, I haven't found it a problem just because so much of our stuff is just wordplay and bickering. And I mean, even though we're playing these odd kind of 1920s style voices and characters, we can still tell the inflection in our voices and what the other person means or wants to say.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get upset, my character rarely gets like yelly and upset, but usually about once per stage show, Funibaum just blows up.
Yeah, it's emotional reaction.
Yeah, and it's usually a strong emotional reaction about something very slight. Yeah. But yeah,
like bologna being a meat.
Yeah, it's a conglomeration. It's not so much a meat. Conglomerate.
There it is.
Oh yeah. So that's where the wordplay. Yeah, this is all me going back into my own mind, questioning what I say. But yeah, it's. Looking straight ahead's great. Plus, I can focus on that exit sign and back. It's really nice. Mm-hmm. Just.
I also like to look at the audience reaction too. Mm-hmm. Usually I can only see the people in the front row. I don't necessarily look at them, but they're in the corners of my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can
kind of gauge how things
gauge
are going.
How it's going. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why we like people who like us in the first front rows.
Reserved.
Reserved for fans. It also, the other part of it is if I looked at him more, I would break more than I already do.
Okay.
And I just realized that now, like half the time I break is because we look at each other and we have ridiculous mustaches. We look so stupid. And I have a giant one that I've been wearing since seven years.
So it's the same one?
It's the same one. Yeah, it's disgusting. It's
caked with skin and
skin and glue. Yeah. So it's gross. And I probably give myself an infection every time I put it on. But yeah, I use it to hide how often I break because I break all the time anyway. And so if I looked at it more, it would just be over with.
Do you guys wear the mustaches when you do the podcast recording?
No, we don't.
It's firmly ensconced in my bag, my mustache ranger bag.
That's right, because you don't want to forget it. Exactly. I have my glasses and my mustache and all our things in a bag that I keep.
It's our go bags.
That's right. If we got to scramble. What's it? If we have to, not scud.
Scramble?
Yeah.
Skedaddle?
Scrap?
I was going to say skedaddle.
Something with an S.
Yeah.
Skittles? If we have to skittles, you just grab your
scoop. You know, you really need a fireman's pole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, huge theater needs a group to go on. Yeah. We're off.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
We need a Dalmatian.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Computer.
Well.
Can you describe what the relationship between the two characters is like at this point, and like how it has changed over the course of the 7 years that the group has been going?
Well, they care about each other, but they make it hard for each other. The last stage show we did was a set of eight called The Mustache Rangers Destroy the Universe.
Yeah, I saw the end of the universe.
Yeah, it was nice because we replayed the last 60 or 45 minutes. I think 45 minutes of the universe, the entire universe, all time just ends and stops.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of played with our. You know, how much time we waste with our bickering and our words, because we just, the last 45 minutes, and what are you going to use it for? You're just bickering with each other.
Yeah.
But at the end, it always got kind of truthful and emotional between the characters and how they really feel about each other. And they're always kind of sad that this was the end.
Did the universe end in every episode?
Yeah.
Oh, it did. Yeah. I guess I thought I saw the one episode. Where
no. Yep, we did it different each time.
I call them episodes even though they're live.
Yeah. Live episodes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one thing. I think in the podcast, I think the relationship dynamic changes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's, you know, very brother to brother, sibling kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's actually like, I feel like it's sometimes father son.
Mm-hmm.
And then mortal enemies. I mean, mm-hmm. it kind of changes with however that episode is going. But I mean, obviously we're very close and we do care about each other. But the dynamic of how we care about each other is different each time, I'd say, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And it also goes around like with who is having a crisis this week. Like, is the commander major shaken by some mm-hmm. great news and he's going to be kind of on a tear or in an odd, peculiar, nonsensical mood? Or is Funibaum going to have some weird obsession with like a collection of ceramics? Yeah. You know, who's going to have the weird quirk this week, and
right.
who's going to have to deal with it?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we trade off playing the straight man a fair amount.
Yeah.
I think Funibaum is would generally be considered the straight man, but in no?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'd say yeah, he'd definitely be considered the straight man, but he definitely is not always this.
No. Like, yeah.
He's
the more calm, rational, scientific of the two, mm-hmm. but that does not necessarily lead to rationality.
Yeah,
he's the more Asperger's-y.
Yeah,
Well, it's funny because like the Funibaum character is much more like of an entry point for the audience.
Uh-oh. You
know, when he's at his kind of base, not crazy, because
mm-hmm.
I mean he's a little neurotic. And he's, a little bit depressed. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, kind of a normal guy, has a job. And then there's the Commander Major, who's like Superman, and and Superman in his own mind.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that really makes sense in a lot of ways. So, I mean, you know, in most things, there's a character that it's easy for the audience to represent or to be represented by.
Mm-hmm.
That was a terrible sentence.
That's all right. Let's tear it apart. why do we ever decide to do this podcast?
What?
Nothing.
Good bit, guys.
No. I was just, I gave them a word of suggestion, and that was the throwaway.
Save it for the stage.
Not getting paid for this, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Paid?
All right.
I got paid.
Ooh. Mustache Rangers break apart.
Why do you break up every group we bring in?
Because I want to be the only group in town. Well, now is the time in a show where I think these guys are perfect for naming this segment.
Oh, yeah. Somebody has to.
This does not have a name mm-hmm. yet. It is currently called Matt's Pantry of Questions. And that's terrible.
Mm.
Okay. So in this segment, I'm going to ask you just some quick hit questions about improv in general, and I'm asking basically the same questions to every group. So, and then at the end, give me a name for this, please.
All right.
So
it's going to be questions with an exclamation point.
Yeah, question. Okay. So if you could improvise with anybody from history, who would you improvise with?
That's a tough question.
You guys, this isn't funny anymore.
No.
We're not getting that. I'm not reading the audience.
We'll just say some Neanderthals. Seems like they get excited appropriately.
Improvisation. Here's my problem with the question is I'll say somebody, but then I have to justify it, and I can't.
No, you don't have to justify.
Oh, you don't think so?
No.
So if I said Ben Franklin.
Why?
Yeah.
I think he'd just be really good at space work. I think he'd be able to, he'd just have some doohickeys.
Because he'd be electric on stage.
I wouldn't have said that.
He'd be inventive.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. You think history and you don't think a lot. I mean, you think historical figures and not like actors or improv. Well, let's just say Reagan.
Cool.
Oh yeah.
And Ben Franklin
or that monkey
able to split focus.
But Michael Jackson's monkeys?
No, not Bubbles, but Bedtime for Bonzo. The whatever monkey Reagan acted with. That I will improvise with that monkey.
Okay.
And if we're gonna, I'll improvise with the monkey from Ed.
Oh, okay. Was that more of a chimpanzee?
The chimpanzee's a monkey, isn't it?
You don't know your hominids.
Second one. If you could layer any classical improv form into your show, what would you want to layer in?
What do you mean classical?
Any traditional improv form.
Maybe do the La Ronde.
I guess, but just with two people. That'd be awfully difficult.
I suppose. We could have guests.
Nels and Lauren did a two-person La Ronde.
Mm-hmm. Good for fucking them.
Just saying.
Look, someone brought up the Superior Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn it.
Is she the commander?
Yeah.
She's a Mustache Ranger Central Command.
Oh, she does go by Commander Anderhands.
Mm, that's true.
Yeah.
We'll just say the bat. Since
the bat. The bat. We did. Haven't we done the bat? I feel like we did the bat.
I don't know.
I know we've done.
We've done a lot of weird forms.
We make up our own forms a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Which is why I said classic.
Yeah, classical. Yeah.
Oh, that's why you justify it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's I still said La Ronde, and you shit all over it.
So. No. Yeah, I did.
So thanks for supporting me.
Well, that's never gonna.
This is what I'm talking about when I say easy negation.
Yeah.
Like it's clear that you're both okay with it.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about this later. Yeah. We'll talk about this on the ride home.
You see our text messages.
So number three, if you could take one of your podcast shows, what and translate it live to the stage.
This is a question you ask everybody?
No. This one's specific to you.
Okay.
Which one do you think would translate really well to the stage? Like, if you could take one of your podcast episodes that, you know, you think was pretty good and would have translated really well to live.
Oh, man. I'd say...
I guess anything without action would be fine.
Without action.
Yeah. Any ones that you weren't on a planet?
Yeah.
Which is most of them.
Or ones with computer, I guess, don't work so well either, because we've never really been able to transfer him to the stage.
Yeah.
I like one of my favorite wordplay ones is where we're just pretending to be truckers and giving each other nicknames. And then you quit, and I'm still playing, and you get upset.
I need to go back and listen to our podcast, because I'm trying to remember some of our episodes. And I think we did one where I like anyone's where we develop a product.
Uh-huh.
Mm. I like our product development skills.
Yeah, the one where the occasional episodes where we work together as a team are fun. Yeah, and we do that on stage too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, usually it has to deal with sports teams made up of animals, but mm-hmm. Where we're plotting out the things we do.
I remember a stage episode where we developed a laser that shot ice cream directly into people's mouths.
I don't remember that.
I remember that one. Oh. But yeah, anything where we were working together.
Rubber?
I think that's a good.
Okay. And finally, if you, you don't deal with pop culture very frequently,
mm-hmm.
but if you could... Like, if there's something that you just kind of a guilty pleasure in today's pop culture that you really would love to get into a show, but you know you won't, what would it be?
I would actually say that we do kind of deal with pop culture a lot more than you would think we do. Movies especially.
Yeah.
We have a definite reference point for movies. Mm-hmm. I've spent a one episode a good amount of time describing Demolition Man.
Yeah, that was... I think that was a stage show.
That was a stage show. But a podcast, we don't really get into pop culture too much in those.
I think there, even if I do understand what you're talking about, mm-hmm. we still get into Funibom will pretend like,
yeah,
well, he will. Me as Eric McEwen will know the movie he's talking to, but Funibom will not know. So he gets him to describe.
There's nothing I love more than describing old movies that the audience is too young to understand.
Right.
Like, most of the audience doesn't know what Demolition Man is.
But it's also, it seems like it's a weird, Funibom likes to point out all the errors in the movie. It's like, this doesn't make a lot of sense.
And then I try to tell you why.
You have to try and justify whatever yeah. movie you're describing. Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I'd probably want to work. I like Game of Thrones right now, so I'd probably drop in some Game of Thrones references.
We'll do True Detective. Although I think I threw that into our last podcast episode. I think there's a McConaughey.
Yeah, we did a McConaughey.
Time and. Yeah, definitely.
Lincoln
yeah.
Lawyer. Yeah, we dropped some.
You did say Lincoln Lawyer. <didn't you? laughs> No, but the last episode was, I think, wall to wall pop culture references.
It was
an odd episode.
Which is rare for you.
It is rare. We try to keep it as evergreen as possible, but sometimes they are just, it's what pops into your head and you can go with it. But we try to keep it as reference free, usually.
And now's the time of the podcast where I throw the microphone over to Philip Simondet for a brand new segment that we call Philip's Corner.
This is a new segment?
It's Philip's Corner.
It's a brand new segment. We're trying it out.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Is this different from when you ask people about how they want to die?
It's new every week.
Oh, I see. I get the gag.
This is a brand
new segment. So they do it every week, but they call it new. Corey, do you get... Corey? Hey, Corey. No, this is...
What?
So this is a segment they do every week. They also say it's new every week.
Okay.
So it's...
But it's not new every week.
No, it's not. But that's the funny thing about it.
No, okay. I'll roll with it. Let's do it.
You don't seem to think it's as funny as I do.
I think it's vastly funny.
Oh, when your face doesn't show it. It's and your voice.
It's because I have my hand on my face.
All right.
Supporting my neck.
Does vastly really work in that situation?
It doesn't. I don't have a good vocabulary.
Neither do I. What's your last name, Philip?
Simondet.
Simondet?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen it.
Is that the?
My brain has never tried to pronounce it after I've read it.
It's the female version of Simon in France.
I'm not that familiar with French. I know that it's a French word that we pronounce non-French.
How's the French pronunciation?
Would be Simondet. That's as much about my own history as I know.
Oh, so it's E.T., not E-T-T-E?
Just E.T.
Ooh, okay, well, yeah.
E.T., then. That was a good movie.
what movie?
E.T.?
I'm not familiar.
Oh.
I think you mean Fire in the Sky.
Corey, could you talk about what E.T. was?
They have walkie-talkies, and they point them at each other.
And go bang, bang.
And go bang, bang.
So Philip's Corner is a brand new segment. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get it greenlit, but this is kind of like a demo episode to kind of prove, it's a proof of concept mm-hmm. to get Matt on board.
Right. All right. Corey, remember that this is not new.
I got it.
All right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stare at you awkwardly.
Oh,
sweet.
Ask you a question.
Okay.
The question's going to be bad because it came out of my head.
Perfect.
Your job is to answer so brilliantly that Matt thinks this is a good segment.
All right.
Corey.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like cake or pie? And defend your answer.
Honor. pie. Because there's way more variety. And cake can dry out really quickly if you
If you're an asshole and you leave it out.
You don't even have to. You don't even have to leave it out.
No,
you
can there's put containers. There's fucking containers. There's saran wrap.
Right, but that's my point. You shouldn't have to have a fucking right container to contain your food so it doesn't dry out.
Even pie dries out if you leave it out.
For like 2 weeks.
Same with cake.
No, cake dries up cake overnight.
Cake has a covering of frosting.
Dude, I just had a birthday for my 3-year-old,
uh-huh.
and the cake later that day was dry.
Well, what kind of cake?
It was from Target.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It was chocolate.
Don't lump Target cakes into all cakes.
I didn't say it. He asked me, this is my question, uh-huh. FYI.
Well, I'm just saying you're wrong.
I did ask you to defend your answer.
I'm trying to defend the second part. All right, yeah, that's true.
Cakes are far superior.
All right.
And variety? Come on. Okay. Put anything in a fucking cake.
Right. Okay. So you have, what do you got? Chocolate. You got a white cake. Confetti cake. Let's see. What else we got?
Hazelnut. Marble cake. Pineapple. German chocolate. Strawberry. German
chocolate. Yeah, but that's just chocolate cake with a different flavoring.
Turtle.
Again, chocolate cake with a different flavoring. So pies, you got all fruit pies. Not that I'm a fan of all fruit pies. You got
pecan pie. Why would you defend pie?
You got, because I'm defending pie because I think I like pie. This is different. I've never had to make this distinction until now. So this is a very good question. It's really put me in a corner.
Listen to me.
Yeah, listen, because he knows that you're the ultimate judge. If this is gonna
this is a good question, by the way, Matt. You may want to listen to this kid, Philip. He's got some ideas. So I would say pie because of the variety of flavors and cooking methods and wild
cooking
cake
is, methods. Bullshit.
That is bullshit. You're right. That is bullshit. I mean, some pies you just throw pudding in a pie thing.
Oh, that's true.
And that's a pie.
Oh. Although you want to pre-bake that crust, or else.
Well, you buy the one that's already.
Oh, what if you don't make a sticky toffee pie?
See, any cake you can make into pie.
What?
I have a friend who's going to culinary school, and I bet when she's done, she could make any cake into a pie. I'm just going to throw that out there. So if she hears this, she'll probably be upset.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's easy to defend things when you just lie through your teeth.
What are you talking about?
Eric.
Yeah. You ready for this, Corey?
Yeah, please.
Eric. Say something that you know will irritate Corey enough to also start an argument.
It's probably could be anything.
He
doesn't get the cake question. Like, I want to hear his defending.
Yeah, anyway. I don't have to defend anything. I just have to make you angry. I don't know. I don't know if I want to get upset. Or get Corey upset. How are you doing?
I'm good.
This is one of those hard questions when you ask like a third grader to just draw something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what to draw.
Okay, I'll be more specific.
All right.
Eric.
Get him upset about... what?
Because it could be anything.
Yeah.
What do you know Corey doesn't like about...
He doesn't like R.E.M.
About R.E.M.
Everything.
Defend R.E.M.
Or Wallflowers.
The Wallflowers.
Or he hates the Wallflowers, but I don't like the Wallflowers. No, R.E.M. is a great band with a vast history of changing sound and evolving lineups. They've made some... wonderful, beautiful music, along with great rock songs that stand the test of time and don't
rock songs.
they really
rock songs?
Evolved punk rock into what ended up being pop rock.
All right, have you heard Monster, Corey? It's more of an electric sound from Peter Buck.
Much.
I was really playing, and the New Adventures in Hi-Fi came out of their touring and was more raw and. I can appreciate that you don't like them because music isn't for everybody, and I know you only like Kesha and Weezer, and that's kind of it. Do you like Kesha? You went to a concert, right?
I went to the Kesha concert.
Kesha, Killers, and Weezer.
Yeah, that's pretty much my
Yeah, no, Corey's mind. Not very musically
inclined.
You could
take the top five... list of songs on Eric's iPod, and they would be bands I've never heard of in my entire life.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, they're fantastic. They changed the way music made in your garage. You know, it's like they made it so other shitty bands could put their stuff up.
Corey doesn't know a lot about music.
I don't know a lot about music. if it's not on the E channel or on, or on KDWB, I just don't hear it.
This final question will be for both of you.
Mm-hmm. I hope it's another one about R.E.M. Maybe it's about you two.
I think I'm going to make you answer one word at a time, alternating.
Oh, great. This is going to go well.
Right. And I'm also going to force you to start a band together and tour Georgia.
Athens, Georgia, where R.E.M. got their start?
Yes. Jeez. Tell me about the band that I just made you form. What are you called? And a little about the music you make.
The
band
we
started
yesterday
is
going
to
be
amazing
because
we
found
a
new
way
to
play
banjo
and
triangle.
This
band
will
rock
your
shit
away.
Period.
What's the band called?
Rock Your Shit Away.
Rock Your Shit Away is the band name. Thank you so much. This has been Phillip's Corner. Hopefully, we'll stick around and do it again next week. It's up
we'll
to
have
Matt.
A new segment. It'll be called Phillip's Corner.
I think that our band will, like, that's it's a very literal meaning, the name of our band. We'll learn Rock Your Shit Away. It'll be like, it'll be medicinal.
Oh, so it'll just kind of vibrate the bowels?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, when people are having stomach problems,
people
you listen.
Actually, people who have stomach problems and can't drink coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They can listen to your music.
Exactly. Mm. And then it'll rock, you know.
Rock your shit away.
Yeah. So it's a double meaning.
It'll be the REM of lower intestines.
No, it'll be, like, better than
that. Really, it's kind of a single meaning, isn't it?
It'll be the greatest working bowel song. It's an aria. It's an
aria. I know.
Greatest work song. Yeah. R.E.M.
I, judging by the laughs that that was happening around me, I assumed it was some sort of R.E.M. reference.
We're gonna driver ate what you ate away. We're gonna drive what you ate away.
Yeah. So okay, you guys ready to
Star
do some?
This wasn't even a pun. I'm just saying things.
Losing my
fuck me kitten. Star
pooper.
What?
Losing my
poop. God damn it, Corey.
Everybody poops.
I do. Sometimes.
Everybody sharts.
You know, Bad Grandpa wasn't too bad. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
It was pretty funny. I haven't. Speaking of sharts, anyway. Are we done with this new brand new segment?
We are. Thank you so much. Yeah.
No, thank you, Philip.
You guys ready to do some improv?
Yeah, sure. After I pee. Next at bat! This fountain isn't going to clean itself. I mean, you have a job to do, and I hired you to do it, and I know you're my sister's cousin, but, well, I guess you're my cousin, too, because my sister is my sister, and I'm her brother. Anyway, you don't seem very talkative. I'll just clean the fountain. I'll just get on these gloves here.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate this job you got me.
Yeah, no, it's a favor to my sister's, you know, cousin. And it's not even stepsister. She's my sister, so you're my cousin. But I don't like the familial sense of. I don't like my cousin so much.
Like, I get it. You know, you don't have to, you know, you can just call me Carl.
Oh, here's a quarter. So this could have been yours, but now it's mine.
That's fine. Well, I'm going to go, if you're going to do this, I'm going to go have a smoke.
Oh, you can smoke here.
Well, I want to do it over there, though.
All right, Carl.
Thank you. So I'm going to go just smoke. But I appreciate the job.
Yeah, no problem. You know, say hi to my sister if you talk to her.
I mean, we're cousins.
Yeah.
So I don't really talk to her except at, like, family gatherings. Okay. But
I don't really go to those.
No, I know. I know. I don't see you there. You're not really into the family that much.
This
either.
Is a condom.
So
who would throw this in a fountain? Is someone fucking in the fountain?
I don't know.
What's that, Carl?
Kevin, why are you doing Carl's work?
Oh, he didn't feel. It was a long, awkward silence, and I filled it with words.
Okay.
And also, we're family. I mean, he's family of my family, but
we
are
never,
family.
You've never really taken your family too seriously. I mean, you've always called me your sister's father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm your father, too.
Yeah.
But you always use distancing language.
Well, here's the thing.
It's almost as if you want us to all not really be a part of your life except your sister.
If one of you dies, mm-hmm. I don't want to feel sad. All right?
Okay.
So I don't like sadness, so I think I just keep everyone at like an arms of an arm's length. So double arms mm-hmm. away from me.
It's like your arm's length?
No, so if I had two arms,
right.
but one after the other instead of next to each other.
So not your arm having an arm.
Well, if the arms were on the fingers. Okay. So I have my hand, but mm-hmm. the fingers were also arms.
Okay.
So my arm goes out to my other arm, so two arms.
This hi, is just Dad. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Carl. Oh, my God, it's like Easter. No. Everyone's here at one place.
Hey, what? Teresa.
Hey, this cigarette's so good.
Hey, sis.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
What? I'm just cleaning fries out of wait, the filter in this fountain.
I thought I set Carl up with this job.
No, you did. You did.
And what? This is you're a, doing you, it for him.
Well, he didn't feel like, it didn't feel like to me that he wanted to do it. Teresa, so I'm just
Kevin went on one of his talking jags again.
Kevin, did you talk yourself into doing yeah. Carl's job?
I mean, he didn't even say he didn't want to do it. I just accepted it as my lot in life.
So. Carl, you can't let cousin Carl get away with that.
Well, he didn't. It's not he didn't get away with
no,
it.
No, it is. You don't know him as well as I do. I'm close cousins with him. He gets away with everything by just not talking and not doing it until someone else fills in.
Hmm.
That's why I applied to college for him. And I found him this job. Huh? I wrote the essay.
Oh, you talked to me about the job.
I know. I was like, you need a job. And he just sat there and I was like, I'm going to get you a job. I have a connection with my brother, Kevin.
Right. And your dad runs the whole plaza here.
Exactly. Look, Carl gets away with everything just by,
it's not like that's big of a deal for me.
Because I don't feel needed here. I'm just finding leave.
Dad.
All right.
Hey, guys. I'll see you later, Uncle.
Is that Grimace over there?
Hey, what's going on over here? Oh, you're almost done with the fountain. Good work.
Yeah, thanks.
Carl, I got you this job.
I know. You're supposed to do this. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I mean, both of you guys are so nice. I mean, you don't think family's going to be there for you, but you guys really are, and I really appreciate it. And, like, if you were to ask me, you know, maybe a month ago, like, who's your favorite family, I would be like, you know, probably my grandmother.
But who'd throw away a silver medal in here?
But today it's like
you guys, I hear they're unhappier than the like bronze medalists. So I guess that makes sense.
You guys are my family.
Because they're almost first place.
And I appreciate that.
Your family, Carl.
Yeah. No, you're my family. You guys are both my family. And I don't know. I love you guys so much. So I'm gonna take off early and I'm just gonna I'm gonna head out. Because I gotta get ready for tonight. But, you know, thanks so much again.
All right.
I love you guys so much. See you later.
Yeah.
Take care.
There's a dead koi in here. You know it was living at one point.
Do you think it was living before, like when they put it in the fountain?
I don't know.
Or do you think it died and then they said, well, let's get rid of this koi?
I don't think a koi can live in this fountain.
That doesn't answer my question at all.
Hmm. I guess it depends on the person. If they wanted to poison a koi with chlorine, or if they're no, I don't know the other option. I think they murdered it in this fountain.
You know, I love that you're playing so coy on this date.
Oh, you're gonna love it even more later.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't believe that we are getting along so well. Nobody has ever really liked me this much to want to spend more than an hour with me.
It's like the same for me. It's almost like I'm looking in a mirror.
Oh my God.
We're like pretty much the same person.
I can't believe we're holding hands now.
I haven't held anyone's hand since the third grade. And that was the school nurse.
That's amazing. I haven't held anybody's hand since the third grade, but it was because of the buddy system.
Hey, I was just sitting over here at this other table. Uh-huh. I couldn't help but overhear, but are you...
this moment is?
No, are you guys going to fuck later?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Is this what it sounds like?
If that's what it sounds like, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, maybe...
I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe you should...
It's not really up to me.
Right. You know? Your face is so red right now.
It's like my heart is, it's like a palpitating.
I'm
is
retracting
that like what
my
you
hand.
Even say?
I'm sorry. It's not because I don't want to keep holding your hand, but
no,
it's
just
so
I
sweaty.
Feel so weird now that he just brought that up.
I know.
It's like so strange.
My knees are shaking and jumping up and down.
Yeah. I mean, if it's possible, like ultimately that would be really a neat thing.
Well, now that you said that,
it's like kind of open the door.
I feel like I have to pee, but I don't have to pee.
I know what you mean. I am right there with you. It's like I can picture it, and I think it'd be really good.
I think it'd be really
cool.
And it's
like since I sat down, I've actually been picturing it.
Really?
Yeah. And I never do that.
No, me neither.
I'm always like, where's the exits?
Yes, right. And I'm always like, how do I make this person want to sit with me longer? But I haven't had to do that. I've just been thinking about copulation.
Yeah, exactly. Just how it goes in and out.
Right.
Well, let me just clear away these entrees. You know what? Can I just say that I've been waitressing for a long time?
Uh-huh.
And this, you two are clearly the most perfect couple that I've ever
seen.
Oh
my God!
Okay. Thank you so much.
This is so cool.
I'm just going to leave this dessert menu. I suggest either the angel food cake or the cherry pie.
So oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
What do you want?
I love cake.
Oh.
What?
Nothing.
But it's angel food cake.
Right, yeah. No, I love.
And you're like an angel to me. But
yes.
This is the first time all night that you've sounded hesitant about anything.
I'm more of a pie guy.
But how could you possibly be a pie guy?
I mean,
you just seem like such a perfect guy. And you like pie?
Well, I mean, pie's really nice, isn't it? I mean,
oh,
don't
sure.
you like pie?
Yeah, no. I mean, if I'm in a like 1950s diner, I'll try the pie. Sure.
I mean, I'm just saying, like in terms of desserts, it's like, do you want to end your night like with a soft, succulent, juicy piece of dessert, or do you want kind of like a fluffy, kind of chewy, kind of thing that goes in your mouth?
Do I want sugar or do I want something that is just like mush? I want sugar, and that's cake.
Well, you know, there's sugar in pie too. It's not just mush. I mean, it's just the different kinds that you get.
Hello, I'm the manager here, and I couldn't help but overhearing your predicament. I think your guys are getting in the way of each other by my estimation. I'd say your genitals match up pretty perfectly.
Well, I
from
thought
your height.
So.
Yeah, I think you need to. Every relationship goes against itself. You know, it all has trouble. It all has trouble, and it's getting past it, and getting to the fucking. That's really what's important about. So,
you know what?
You know, I felt like when the first gentleman came over and said that F word, it was really exciting. But now,
it's kind of like,
ew.
It's like you're kind of creeping in on our night.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's the agenda of this place?
Yeah. And now, like, the effing.
Yeah.
Look, we served you the oysters. Mm-hmm. We
and the strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. In the
what more do you want from us as a facility for food and copulation preparedness?
Well, I guess maybe.
I mean, to be honest, I'm not even that hungry for dessert.
I'm not that hungry for dessert either.
So I think that dessert menu really threw a wrench.
Yeah.
In what could have been a fabulous mind.
Now I just have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm back, you guys. So no dessert? No dessert?
No.
I'm just going to take away these cups. I'm just going to convert this table into a bed. Here you go. And I'll just set some mood music. Mm-hmm. Which R.E.M. song would you like me to put on?
Shiny Happy People?
Oh, I'd recommend Everybody Hurts. Sometimes.
So you can see that the pterodactyls in this facility are growing human eyes,
that's
by design. That's we genetically splice. We can make any animal like any other animal, and And I think that's going to be our legacy.
Excuse me. I have a question.
Oh, yeah,
could you
the dean from Harvard.
Yes. Could you? So what you're saying is you can splice different animals together. Could you say make a dog into a rooster? Could I have my little golden retriever? Could I have him cockle doodle doo to wake me up
that's
in the morning?
Oh yeah, that's simple enough. Thing to do, and we'd be happy to do anything pretty much for a fee. So it's a capitalistic mutation museum is what we call it.
Money, CMM. I like it. Money is no object. I want an animal to wake me up and then bring me my slippers.
Are you sure you don't want to barter and get into the details of how much money you want to pay for things? Anyone want to learn or be taught about how this is done?
No. It seems perfectly simple. Science.
I just want to create a creature that fulfills all of my demands.
All right, let's just go around here. And this is just for my own interest. Let's name our top two animals that we'd like spliced, because as a scientist. Multiple scientists. I'm actually a splicing of two scientists into one scientist. I like to know the thought process behind people's picks in animals or rocks. Mm-hmm. If you want to splice a donkey with a rock, make yourself a Rocky. We're gonna do that. It's all DNA, rock DNA.
Well, I would like. I need an assistant animal.
Mm-hmm. You're thinking like a monkey mixed with
that's right, like a helper monkey,
monkey?
And then I need a
with like a hands of a platypus or a human.
Human hands. Could I also throw in an elephant's memory?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little top heavy, that monkey, but we can work with it. We can flatten out a giraffe neck. You know, you can. What we do is take a giraffe neck and really squish it down. So we take the longness and change it into a thickness. And then we put an elephant head on. I mean, it's all technical. It's all very technical, but...
I do not care about the process at all. I just want my creature.
No, we can do that. As long as you'll use it for good.
I don't think you should test us on what we want to use the animals for. I just wanted us to know what we wanted. I think it's up to us.
What's an ethical scientist?
Fair enough. We're just doing it for the money. So I kind of lost my point of view there for a second and lost my engagement or my reason for doing things. So you're right. It's all about the money for me. For us, the scientists that we are, that is me.
Are you interested at all in splicing humans into this?
Well, we got human hands already on this elephant monkey giraffe.
All right, I would very much like to have a house cat spliced with Elvis Costello's face.
All right.
And perhaps a rock.
Sedimentary. I just have a quick question here about the tongue. Do you want this to be Elvis Costello's tongue or a cat tongue?
What I'm really looking for is to have a stationary, cute, furry Elvis Costello that would sing to me all the time.
Oh, all right. I mean, there's a clock that can do this, but if you want an actual living being, we can do that,
I'd
too.
I'd much rather have a broken piece of nature do it.
Or no. We're all happy to do that here, and by all of us, I mean me, which is the both of us.
Oh.
So, yeah. No, I'll put you down for one.
Could I?
Oh, you want another thing?
The other was just purely, just academic speculation.
No, but what's your favorite things that you want?
I'd like to take an ostrich and just add beaver teeth to it.
Do beavers have teeth?
Yes,
they have big
front teeth.
What was the first thing you said again?
It was a dog who could cock-a-doodle-doo.
No, but the first animal.
An ostrich with beaver teeth, mostly just because I want an ostrich, but I want it to look a little more white trash.
All right.
So if that's all right, a little more, a little more rednecky.
Right, and you would be... I mean, we could simply graft a couple of Billy Bob teeth into an ostrich without any splicing
whatsoever.
Well,
I want him to be able to chop down trees.
If you want my input, if you really want it to look quite white trashy, give it beaver teeth, but then remove one of the teeth.
I see what you're saying.
That can be all done. That's aftermarket. you know, what they do to cars.
Right.
Like
right.
They put on the rust free thing. You know, I'm a scientist, so I know a lot of words, but not a lot about cars. It's an aftermarket feature, would be taken out a tooth that's already been grown.
Right. Absolutely.
All
right.
Absolutely. I'm glad we could get all the words out there. So I've got everyone. Do you want one of everybody else's thing too?
No to the Elvis Costello cat. I'm just going to throw that out
there. I mean, he is an American treasure.
I take that personally. And he is actually Irish, I'm just saying.
He's Irish?
Oh, yeah. Declan McManus is his real name.
That's a very Irish name.
No. Technically British, but he's of Irish descent and has an Irish accent.
All right, well, we'll just get these orders down and get you off this island, because in 10 minutes we release the it's a man, but it's got a snake for a penis. And you don't want to...
That's every nightmare I've ever had.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch of them. And they make sure the island's locked down. And then they get real sleepy by morning time. And so it's safe to come back, but they're going to wake up in about 10 minutes, so just get you on your way after you fill out these forms.
Let's get riding, gentlemen.
I know they say love springs eternal, but I just feel like a bag of shit.
I don't mean to rain on your parade, but I'm pretty sure it's hope springs eternal.
Really?
Yeah, it's hope, not love. God
damn, my parents.
So.
What's wrong with me? Why won't anyone love me or hope me?
Well, I as your psychiatrist, I'm pretty much paid to love you.
Yeah.
In a clinical way.
This is agape, kind of, more than like a physical...
Than a amore.
Right, but you wouldn't be opposed to meeting up afterwards.
Well, I mean, it would cost me my job, but I'm fine with it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
All right. So...
So I guess that gives you both potential love and hope.
But is this a ploy? Like... As soon as the session is done, is this like back to business?
Oh yeah,
it's like we're unprofessional. Yeah, we're not going to meet.
No,
so we're not going
to
meet.
No, but I'm professionally trying to get you to a place where you can be happy and hopeful and live a full life.
But
so.
But limited to the session we're in.
Of course, I mean that's our world together.
Right, but don't you want to set me out into the world with the ability to survive?
Which is why I told you that I would meet you.
But you're not going to meet me. Just in...
No. 50 minutes.
Your next appointment is here.
Sweetheart, you said you would clean up after this party, and this is just me cleaning up beer bottles, like every party.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you throwing this party. Like, it was an awesome party, and I love it. I know we're roommates and everything like that. And, you know, supposed to pay half the rent and half utilities and half party stuff. And I appreciate it. I mean, I just got this job. My cousin just got me this job. And, you know, everything's going to start to turn around. I appreciate you picking us up.
No, look, Carl, sweetie, I thought that I was the planning party and then you were going to clean up after it. But then when the party was over, you just sat there and didn't say anything. And now I feel like I have to clean it up.
Right. No, I totally get where you're coming from. I get it.
Hey, Carl.
Yeah.
Hey, can you tell her to keep it down? We're still trying to keep the party going in here, but not let her know about it.
Yeah.
Who were you just talking?
No, what?
Why did you just whisper at the door over there?
I was whispering at the door.
Okay, fair enough.
The door. I mean, don't you ever whisper at inanimate objects?
Okay, you got me there.
That's what I'm saying.
The toaster.
Yeah. It's like finish my toast, right? I've heard you. It's fun, but no, I appreciate it. So if you just want to clean up here, I'm gonna run.
Carl,
hold on.
Do you have your armed forces CD? We need some attractions. We need some Elvis Costello at the party. Like Bruce Thomas attractions, like not once Bruce got kicked out.
No, right, yeah. I mean, because I mean, it just changed.
Yeah,
then.
The base wasn't the same.
No.
You know?
Yeah, I've got it.
All right.
I'll bring it. You just got to chill. You're going to have to listen to his early stuff.
And Penelope in here.
It's pretty early.
Yeah, it's pretty early. It's the third album.
Yeah.
Penelope.
I mean, we're not talking like Bacharach duets
yeah,
or anything.
Yeah, no. I mean, that was okay, but he got real easy listening after that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, okay.
It's like
the first
it's like
two
the
albums.
Kind of music you'd listen to when you're jacking it in a spur. It's Light FM.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, if you're jacking it to that, your life is pretty much over.
Well, yeah, but that's when you're getting paid for it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, they want to make it soothing. Anyway, so when you can get that arm, don't let her know we're still
okay.
here.
Okay.
Carl, sweetie, what did the door want now?
The door's just bothering me, man. He's always like, open and close me, you know? But so, you know, you just clean. You're just so cool. I think you're just the coolest.
Well, I guess I'll just keep cleaning up all
Yeah, I mean,
bottles.
I got some things. I have some really important stuff to take care of for my new job.
The fountain cleaning job?
Yeah, yeah.
That your cousin got you?
Yeah.
With your cousin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got some. I got a lot of stuff. I got to make sure I'm all packed with my cigs, and I got, you know, I just got to make sure all my cleaning supplies are stocked and they're in the basement. So I'm gonna go down and check on those.
Carl,
hold on one sec.
Carl, it looks like somebody opened the window in here, and there's a swarm of bats that are flying around in here, knocking over all kinds of furniture.
Okay, we'll just try to keep it down.
Yeah, we're trying to keep it down, but. You know, just don't let your girlfriend know. That
okay, yeah, there. I won't. She won't know.
Okay.
I won't tell her, I promise.
Some of the bats might be biting people.
Oh, okay. So I should grab some gauze?
Yeah, some gauze would be nice. And
okay.
Some, like, Bactine.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Sorry, yeah.
I was singing to the toaster.
That's cool. I love how you do that. That's super cool. You're like the coolest chick. So, why don't you just do this? I'm going to head in the basement. I'm going to go grab just some supplies
hey,
and
Carl?
Stuff from the... Yeah.
What's that? I want to keep this on the down low, but Murphy Hendrix was, you know, he was at the party.
Right, yeah.
He's dead now. And...
Did in the basement he's dead? Or
yeah.
Did he leave and get,
he
like...
He choked on your... girlfriend's like driver's license, so that's gonna be weird. But I just thought I'd give you a heads up.
It's gonna be really incriminating.
It's me yeah. in the corner.
So I just thought you should know sooner rather than later. But we're still raging down there.
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
Well, I'll be down in a minute. All right, you guys. I'd be down there already if you wouldn't keep interrupting me.
You know what, babe? I'm gonna bring all this recycling directly to the recycling center and get, you know, that 5 cents per bottle. So
perfect.
Have you seen my wallet? I can't find my driver's license.
Gulp.
And that was Transylvania. Nope. That was what? Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania 6500. Yeah. 5,000?
Is it
6,500? That's the it's the PE.
Pennsylvania
6,500. No, it is 5,000. No, it's 5,000.
5,000.
Yeah, you're right.
Because then there was the Transylvania.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
6,500 with Ed Begley Jr. and Jeff Goldblum.
That was Ed Begley. Oh, that's right. That's yeah. the
It was not
movie.
Ed Begley Sr.
No, Jr.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the senior?
I don't know. I think he died. I mean, Ed Begley Jr. has got to be 65.
That's right. He's getting up there.
Yeah.
Anyway, up next yes. we have yeah. an interview
with June Cleaver.
That's right. Her actual name is not June Cleaver.
It is Barbara Billingsley?
Yes, that sounds right.
And you're
she's going to give us a little inside tip on the beeve.
On the beeve. And how to clean those dirty kitchen carpets. You're listening to The Witching Hour with Todd and Ron.
Hi, Todd.
Hi, Ron.
So, Barbara, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for being on the show. We've never met a real live celebrity. We've only had B-listers on here before.
Oh, well, it's so nice to be here.
Do you know, I mean, this might be a little off topic, but do you know Ed Begley Jr.?
Yeah.
Do you run in the same circles?
You know, technically that's not off topic because we haven't gotten onto a topic with her yet.
Well, I mean, That's true. I don't know. All right.
I mean, so. Is she just Leave It to Beaver to you? I mean, it's been a lot of years.
Well, I haven't seen you doing anything else.
But, I mean, we're talking to her about cleaning carpets, too. Obviously, she has other interests.
Well, everyone knows how to...
I'm sorry.
All right, can you take
I'm really, I'm really undermining you at this point.
No, that's all right. Okay. Let's talk about this off air, Todd. Let's table this for now.
Well, I guess we can, but we try to be real. That's our thing.
Well, we try to be, but I think we all have a facade we wear constantly. I don't think we can totally drop it.
I think that's true, and I think that your piercing eyes are telling me that I wear more of a facade than most.
Barbara, I think you're embarrassing yourself in front of Barbara.
Okay,
maybe I'm just doing fine.
I'm just having a really bad day. It's been a really hard day.
How about we talk about this later?
Okay, we can talk about it later. Barbara,
you obviously want to know how to clean carpets.
Yeah, I do more than just clean carpets. Yeah, that was my TV persona.
Excuse me, we asked you about Ed Begley Jr. I'm sorry.
I asked about Ed Begley Jr. Yeah, why don't you include yourself in everything that I ask him to?
We're a team, Ron.
We're a team, but we're individuals.
We're supposed to be a team, and you go and apply for another job without me.
Todd, we all die alone. It doesn't really matter in the long run.
Okay, so I guess it's not the Todd and Ron show. It's just...
It is for now.
It's Todd and or Ron.
We're both on this right now. Mm-hmm. I asked a question.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah.
And
everything changes, Todd. You have to get used to change. Well, I mean, Barbara Billingsley didn't do...
When were you going to tell me about this other job that you wanted? I mean, we are in a pretty...
Well, why
good...
are you snooping through my papers, Todd? That's the lack of trust that's been the crux of our relationship.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm supposed to be on with Tony B and the Googe in 5 minutes. So if you guys want to talk about anything it's fine. If not, I can just call
Begley
in early.
Jr.
Yeah.
Ron asked you about Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I don't know him.
You don't know
I know
him.
He drives a car that's electric, mm-hmm. and he's that kind of a putz right. about it.
A putz?
How do you not know him? He's younger than you.
Do I know? I know everybody who's younger than me.
I don't know
what kind of world
you like
live
Todd
in.
Well, why are you getting on Todd's case?
I'm getting on both of your guys' case because you're both a couple of assholes.
Wow.
Well, we're going to have to drop that call.
I mean, just listen.
Sorry for the rude behavior of Barbara Billingsley.
Yeah,
I expected
some
Hollywood professionalism, but on the Todd and Rod
some
show,
motherly, you know, I guess
advice.
Really, I was judging her according to her role on Leave It to Beaver.
Right,
also.
You know, she's no Hugh Beaumont.
She sure isn't. Hey.
Hey, did you know that he regretted taking his role on Leave It to Beaver?
Did he?
Yeah.
Why?
Because when he was traveling to California to mm-hmm. start this show, he was moving across with his whole family, mm-hmm. and his mother died in a car crash.
Oh, my God. That's
and so
terrible.
It never would have happened if he hadn't taken that job.
Wow.
So there's a little sad undertone to every Leave It to Beaver episode.
That makes sense. You can see it on screen.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm really sorry for bringing up...
No, I'm sorry about that, too. You know, I'd love to stick around with you for this next segment.
I'd love that too.
All right. We'll be right back with Tony Danza.
Todd and Ron, the witching hour.
Pants!
Next up, Pants!
And that's our show. Thank you to the Mustache Rangers. Thank you to Corey Anderson and Eric McEwen for coming on by the house and recording with us. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out the Mustache Rangers and find out what they're up to and pick out their new... Pick out? Sure. The new podcast that they're putting out. They're putting one out about every 2 weeks right now on MustacheRangers.com, or you can go check them out on iTunes, like you can do with us.
You guys know how podcasts work.
But you can go to iTunes and look up Mustache Rangers and download a bunch of episodes, because they're all pretty darn good. And also, you can check them out at Huge Theater. Go to HugeTheater.com or go to 31st and Lindale to go to Huge Theater, because at 9:30, starting in May, on Friday nights, you can go see the Mustache Rangers, and you can see them looking out at the audience, and you can see the opening bit that we so so lovingly talked about during the interview today. And they will be doing that run for 2 months, I believe.
You can see me a few times in the next couple weeks. It's a busy couple weeks for the local music scene. my improv group that does an Armando based on music played by local guest musicians. First Chance is Friday, May 2nd.
Yeah.
At Golden Deli in St. Paul. There's a brand new performance space for improv that's happening now. That's right. That show will also include Stacy's Playground Players, License to Krill, and Good Grief.
And Good Grief. Yes, absolutely. And if you haven't had a chance to see Good Grief, you're in for it.
Yes, you are. Check them out. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Then, the next day, Saturday, in the morning, which is going to be May 3rd, we're part of the Even Breaks variety show, and we're moving to a new location this week. We're going to St. Paul again, outside a Natural Sound studio. This one is 989 Selby Avenue. There's not a music guest lined up for this week, which means it's an open mic. So you could come, play a song, and we could improvise based on your song.
What if somebody improvised a song?
We would improvise to an improvised song. That's
fine. Whoa!
Yeah, check it out. It'll be crazy. We will be one of the groups opening for The Kids Table at Bryant Lake Bowl on Tuesday, May 6th. Show is at 7. Four improv groups for $5, and we will be bringing musical guests Patches and Gretchen to be our guest musicians. They are also our co-hosts at the Even Break Show, and they are crazy. You need to see them.
And then, finally, you're going to have the return of the Houlihans coming up here pretty soon, right?
That is right. Stage Match starts up again first week in May. We're not up the first week. Our first show will be Friday, May 9th, is the first return of the Houlihans. We have two new Houlihans.
Yeah, you do.
Allie Rico and Aaron Anderson have joined our group. We also did some Minimum Fare episodes as a group before they joined. So check those out at youtube.com/PhilipSimondet.
And if that wasn't long enough to hear all of what Philip is up to,
right?
I'm not really doing anything. So there you go. That's not true.
Stage Match is coming back.
Stage Match is coming back, and I'll be coaching this time around. I'm also coaching a group right now along with, I guess, directing a group along with Joe Halverson called The Improvisers. We don't have dates yet, but watch out for this one. This one's going to be pretty darn good, I think.
Keep in touch with us at our new website, nextatbatpodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/nextatbat, and send us an email, nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right, and you can always check us out on iTunes. Subscribe to our podcast, rate it, review it, use your words that you learned in school or from your parents or guardians if you don't have parents. We accept
There's all kinds of families.
Right.
There's all kinds of
Absolutely. Families. Go check us out on our not-so-new website anymore, but it's still ours. That's nextatbatpodcast.com, and you can download from there, too, or hook up to our RSS feed. And that's it for us today. Tune in next week when we're going to have another new guest. And as always,
praise Jaibosh.